Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. It is, alhamdulillah, the beautiful day of Jumu'ah. And the day today is the 13th of Safar, 1447. We have Mulana Salman Yunus. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulana.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's Mulana doing?
Alhamdulillah. You know, I'm just thinking of last week what we were speaking about. And looking outside today, I can see the clear blue sky, the sun rising, everything. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. And bless you. Durban is blessed with the ijtima this weekend.
Alhamdulillah. A few weeks now, the preparations have been underway. And as you can say now, the preparations have to end. And it's time for the ijtima to take place, inshallah.
So whereabouts is this ijtima? If we, you know, we just know Durban North, Umshlanga, these famous places. So from there, maybe Mulana can give us an idea, not directions, street by street, but just more or less.
In central Overport, I'm going to put it very simple. In Overport, I think Overport is one of the most famous places, especially for the Muslims that stay in Durban and come into Durban. It's in Overport itself, in the center of Overport. So from the airport, it's about 20 minutes away. And from Umshlanga, it's about 15 minutes. And from Durban North, it's about, say, 10 minutes. So it's very central, even for all the other regions of KZN. You're coming from the South Coast, North Coast, you're coming from the Midlands. It's a very central point, alhamdulillah, where it's easy for everyone to come in. Majority of people from KZN are all familiar with this area, so it'll be easy to find, inshallah, and be comfortable for one and all.
Yeah, it's just making us a bit envious, the site, because we left out. And I know certain people also, they don't mind driving down. They flew down already. And it will be starting today, Jummah time, isn't it?
Jee, inshallah, from Jummah time. Last night was a final, whatever needs to be rounded up. And today after Fajr, they had the Mashwara regarding who will do which programs, which ulama I kiram. Alhamdulillah, this has all been decided and that news has been sent out as well. And today, inshallah, from Jumu'ah will be the start of the ijtima, with programs taking place on Jumu'ah, the main bayan being after Maghrib, inshallah. And then on Saturday as well, they have a whole lineup of different types of programs for ulama I kiram, for students, for universities, for professionals, for all workers, for the general public. Alhamdulillah, Saturday we can say is the main day of the ijtima, and alhamdulillah, it's a public holiday also, so many will be free, inshallah, to come and benefit from the ijtima.
Yeah, it was, you know, I think it was 2 weeks back, and I actually wanted to ask you for that information. I forgot to ask you. You mentioned about the churches and how the Christians, they work on the youth and getting them involved in sports and all of the rest. And that just changed their whole interest in Christianity and the rest. And you mentioned there that this is exactly, if you see the trends that are out there in the sports and getting us ourselves all involved in this. It's a quite, it's an interesting point that you made, because we're heading in that same direction. So this is a perfect opportunity for the youth now to go and see. And this is what we say. If you take my own life personally, it wasn't affected by going to play some soccer or cricket, or we were in school, university, all of the, but it was that effect of the pious people. And you just said that awe and respect for them and something, and then just one thing leads to the next. But it was never was it some braai or some get together that just cause that change to come. I'm speaking personally. Others may say something else. But this is personal experience. It was, in fact, I'm just going to share this for the benefit. I'm not proud to say it, whatever, but I didn't have a beard. And my father said, why didn't you just go to the ijtima? And it was here a few, many years back in Yasfam. And he said, just go, because they were, he was tasked with the sound and the mics and all of that. He said, the exact words I remember him saying, you will rub shoulders with the pious people. Yeah. And maybe, and I went, and that Jummah, I will never forget that Jummah, and nobody will forget that Jummah, because that's the Jummah that all those explosions were taking place, and someone threw their cigarette pad or whatever it was on the floor, and it was still lit, and the grass was, you know, just perfect to burn. And from one car to the next, you just, we were there on the stage listening to these explosions, Jummah time, just wondering what's, everyone was just running helter skelter and the rest. And there, that time, there was this, I don't recall who was the elder that spoke, but some foreign speaker, elderly person of the Bligh, Mulana, and he is now to deliver the lecture. And so my task was to go and put the mic there. So as I'm going to put the mic, he just pushes my hand away. He calls someone else. And I thought maybe, you know, maybe he prefers. So I just went, left it. After that salah time, I'm going forward to put the mic again. He just pushed my hand away again and called someone else. One of his khuddam, khadims, those assistants for those who don't understand. So then that night it was like you're embarrassed because you know you right there on the stage, everyone was seeing you this. But then you see what was the cause of this. And then I could only come to one conclusion and say that because perhaps I didn't have a full beard. And through that's Nahya Anil Munkar. It wasn't, Jamaat Tabligh is known for Amar Bil Ma'ruf, to call towards goodness. But through Nahya Anil Munkar there, Allah Azza wa Jalla inspired me, and Alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl, we have a lion, a lion's mane, you can say a beard. And that's the sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I'm saying these, you attend these programs, it has an effect on you. As you said previously in one of those sports programs we had, there you're going, your intention is to play sport. Here your intention is going, some degree at least is there that I'm going for deen. So it's a major, major event that is taking place for our youth, and you should attend it.
Yeah, well, regarding that thing, aspect regarding the Christianity and how they try to bring entertainment in, this information is readily available even on just general websites, not in our Islamic literature. So to say that they're not even shy to hide it, that this is how we brought or try to bring numbers into Christianity. If you just do a quick Google search regarding the fall and the rise of Christianity, or how they try to bring the churches back alive again, and all this information is there. And the main thing they use is the church choir, the singing and the dancing and all those songs. That was one of the main things that they utilize to bring people back in. Because at that time, people was all about dancing and music, and they were going for all these pagan festivals. But they tried, and that's how we see how Christmas came about, and Easter, and all these things linked up to the pagan traditions, as we've touched upon last time, to bring people back, thinking, you know what, they're still doing what they'll enjoy, but just come and do it under the banner of Christianity. And that's how Christianity lost its whole essence, and people following it also don't even realize that what we are doing, they're even part of Christianity. But that is why it's so important that whatever call of deen we are utilizing, whatever means of this tabligh and inviting others towards the deen, then it has to be done in its pure form. It has to be done in its original form. Otherwise, we're going to get people entering into Islam or coming towards Islam, thinking Islam to be a form of entertainment, a form of enjoyment. And because they're enjoying themselves, because they're being entertained, that is why they are doing certain things in Islam. But the moment that entertainment and enjoyment falls away, or they no longer find happiness in that form of entertainment, then together with that, the Islam that they thought they had will be gone. Because their maqsad, their basis, their foundation of following deen wasn't deen. It was the ulterior motives and the other side attractions that pulled them with it, and deen was just by the way. So like this year, alhamdulillah, from our personal story also, we find that when something is done solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and when a person is attending a program or some deeni activity only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, there's no other side attraction, then there will be benefit no matter what, whether it's you, whether it's someone else. But when it's mixed up and it's corrupted with other intentions, other forms of spending your time, then you'll find that that effect that needs to be there will not be there. It'll be empty. It might have a big gun, but there's no bullet in that gun. It won't serve any purpose. So you might look like a Muslim. You might say, I have a Muslim name and everything. But you can't speak like a Muslim. You don't have the iman of a Muslim. You don't have the Islamic upbringing, the Islamic identity of a Muslim. Then all that is going to go down the drain. So like let's say, alhamdulillah, we find that our akabir and ulama, they have stuck so strong and held firm for this reason, that deen must be done in its original way. I mean, up till today, look, think about it, right? So much, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed the Muslims with wealth, and they're utilizing it in these avenues in which to uplift deen, to bring people back to deen, to try and bring that one person out of the fire of Jahannam. So much money is spent. What was stopping, to say, spend a little bit more money, get the news anchors to come in, get the cameras to come in, get it live on television, what we see in many other organizations are doing. And this was strongly prohibited. Never will this ever happen, because we understand that deen does not require all of these resources. Remember, one very important principle is the propagation of deen versus the preservation of deen. And preservation of deen takes preference over propagation of deen. So what this means is that if I'm going to utilize means or avenues to spread deen that is not in conformity of deen, then that will not work. That is not allowed whatsoever. More important is the preservation of deen. Preservation of deen means that what is original deen, as came from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the Tabi'in, etc., as it reached us in that pure form. We are not mukallaf. We are not going to be held responsible. But why did you not utilize this means or that means when it's impermissible? We are going to be mukallaf according to our capability, our capacity, and within the confinement and parameters of the Sharia. This is one of the, what we say, the major issue today, which people don't understand this simple principle. They say, but so many millions can see you, can hear your bayan, can see you talking, can see what's happening. Why don't you share it live? But that's where you have to understand the preservation of deen versus the propagation of deen. Allah Ta'ala is responsible. Allah will make his deen reach the far corners of the world. We just have to do what Allah wants us to do, and Allah will do the rest. Allah Ta'ala is in full control. Because remember, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. You can't guide whomever you want. Only Allah can guide. We are not there to guide people. We are there to remind people. We are there to advise people. We can tell that person 100 times. Allah doesn't want hidayah written. It's not going to be written. And just one time you can advise that person. And if Allah wants it written, it's going to be written. So today's downfall majority is people are, what we'll say, coming into Islam via these wrong avenues, by being propagated incorrectly. And this modern Islam, or what we'll say, this 21st century Islam, what people are seeing, what the modern world actually wants. The modern world wants this year. Why now they use the word as radical Islam or extremist? And they don't want to scare you away to think this is some political agenda. Whereas they want you to be a modern Islam. Why? Because they know in modern Islam, one is, it conforms with our worldly agenda. And secondly, all those that are following the world, modern Islam, what's in the benefit of the non-Muslims? The benefit is we got control over them. Whatever we want them to do, we will just send it from the top to their modern leaders. And after that, they will follow. We got no issue. Remember something. The non-Muslims, if you look and study our Islamic history from the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, salahu, and all these great giants of Islam that conquered land, that had the power, the zeal, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, the most non-Muslims were scared of them. When Khalid bin Walid would say that one Allahu Akbar and go forward, the empire shook. they were scared. Why? Because they knew these people are coming with the help of Allah Ta'ala. They are not worried about what we want them to do. They are coming sure on their need. And as such, they just went and conquered land upon land upon land without any, what we'll say, modern means, without any modern ideologies of thinking that we need to do it in a certain way. This was the power Allah Ta'ala gave them. So the non-Muslims of today, the kuffar of today, understand that the Muslim strength lies in following deen in its original way. As such, they try to contaminate it, pollute it, and they'll say, as long as this is done, and we have Muslims in Islam that think jihad is not for now, that think, you know what, it's fine for the woman to go into the working world, as long as they're going to do all these things, then we don't have no fear, because they're not going to have the help of Allah Ta'ala. So we need them to be propagating this type of Islam to the masses. So the masses are watching television, they are seeing this scholar speaking on the YouTube or on this TV channel, and they think, I feel affected. I like the speaker. But that spirituality is not there. That Imani strength will never be there. Yes, as we said, on face value, on picture, say, hey, the speaker is such a good person, I feel like doing this here today. You'll do it for 1-2 days, done, dusted. Why? There was no energy behind it. There was no substance behind it. But whereas when it comes to pure Islam, and that's what the kuffar are the most scared of, that's what they are trying to stop. And if you look at it, this aspect of doubt, of giving this message of Islam, of reviving it amongst the Muslims, and this is a common question, that why don't you go and give the doubt to the non-Muslims? Why do you give the doubt to the Muslims? Both are in its place. Both are correct. One is the da'wah needed for the non-Muslims, and one is the da'wah to our own Muslims also, to remind them of Allah Ta'ala. Sahaba radiallahu anhum will meet in the marketplace and say, come, sit, let's revive, let's renew our iman. They'll recite the kalima, they'll talk to one another. This was also a form of da'wah. Because remember, if your family, your own family is suffering, you want to help your own family first before you go to your neighbors. We got our own fellow Muslim brothers who we grew up with, who we know about, who have been Muslims for so long, but we see them not so on the track. So that concern is more deeper in our heart, that how these brothers, how ourselves all can come on. And the more we give this da'wah, then the more it's entering our own hearts, we always say. That sometimes we feel shy. You know, like if you got a child at home and you tell them, you know what, this cool drink is bad for you, don't drink the cool drink. And now you want to go and drink it, now you're feeling shy. I just told my son that the cool drink is bad. Now I'm going to go pour a cup for myself. So by telling someone, it affects yourself also, because you feel, I said it, how can I not do it? Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding this here. So this aspect of deen in its purity, at occasions that what, alhamdulillah, we are being blessed with in this ijtima, this weekend, then this is something which we should be going simple. No big show, no fancy halls, no fancy cars, no fancy food, nothing. Completely simple. Just some big tents put up, chatais on the floor, cardboard on the floor. And people, as we said, people are coming with the objective, not the objective of sports, not the objective of entertainment, not the objective of anything. Yes, you might think in the back of your mind, okay, what's the chow? As a human being, you're always thinking, what's the chow? You know, we're working at home. You're going to come back, working out, going to come back home, what food is cooked today? That's a normal need of a human being. Whilst we have that in our mind, but we're not going there for the food. I can stay at home and eat, alhamdulillah. Everyone can still stay at home and eat, and even get better food at home compared to what is there. So our objective of going here is nothing fancy whatsoever. It's only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, that perhaps by being in this environment of so many ulama, so many pious people, so many people making dua, so many people at the time of tahajjud awake, so many people dressed in the sunnah libas. This is the drawing of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. This is how we draw the mercy of Allah. And when that mercy is descending on one person, not only on that one person, it's on that entire gathering, that everyone is gathered over there. Allah Ta'ala is descending that mercy upon everyone. And we who are hopeful that due to the good deeds, due to the piety of someone else, that's why we say we spend the time in the company of the pious. We go with the mashayikh, we go to their majlis, we go in their suhbat. That through their barakah, through their piety, you also get you also get affected. We're just going to give two examples, inshallah, before we terminate, regarding the aspect of the suhbah, the example of what is meant by being in the company of the pious. And just along these lines, remember, names have been given, examples, the sawuf, tabligh, but in actual fact, this is all the work of deen. As we have in our house also, we name our certain cupboards, certain categories, towel cupboard, laundry cupboard, our tools category. It doesn't mean now this cupboard is only for this year. It means just to categorize it, just to analyze it, so I know what's happening. Likewise, these names have just been given, so we know and understand what type is being done. But in actual fact, they all complement each other. They're all part of it. If a person is involved in this work, then no problem, you carry on. You are doing a good work. If a person is done in this work, no problem, you carry on. But you should never feel that this is the only way or that is the only way. Rather, they all work together. The Darul Ulum, the Makatib, the Masjid, the relief work, all this year is all interlinked. They all come together for the purpose of deen. And remember, provided all are being done with the purity of deen, no bid'ah is taking place, no modernism is taking place, because then we'll say, okay, now this year has been out of the category because you're not falling within the parameters of Sharia. Always our guiding principle is the parameters of Sharia. Now, regarding the suhbat, remember correctly, I just came to mind, Zain al-Abidin, rahimahullah, was traveling by train one day. And he had his few friends with him, those who was with him all the time, learning, getting some effect from him, alhamdulillah. So they were traveling by train, and in India, it's very, very hot. So what will happen is, they have a person going by selling blocks of ice, blocks of ice. And as they're moving, this person, Zain al-Abidin, bought a block of ice. And the people are asking him now, they're saying, you're going so far with traveling, where are we going? So he said, let me tell you something. Where are we going now? It's a long journey. And generally, after a long journey, a person wants to be rewarded or he wants his objective to be fulfilled. He said, see, where we are going to this Hazrat, whoever it was, this Ali, then sometimes he doesn't speak. Sometimes he doesn't speak. So don't be shocked if we go there and he doesn't speak. We're just going to be seated there. So now they all became more upset. Now they're saying, why? We're traveling so far, he doesn't even speak. So then he said, look over here at this window, this ice. Why do I have the ice here? He said, no, the ice is cooling us. He says, yes, the wind is passing through the ice, cooling the air, and it's cooling our room. He said, is this ice speaking? Is the ice doing anything? He says, no. He said, very similarly, the company of the pious is the same. We might not understand what they are saying. Sometimes they don't even say it. That one gaze, that one touch, that one look we have at them, the one look they have at us, and that effect is felt. And that's what will change, what changes many. How many incidents there are of people who said, we just walked in, we just saw that alim, and same time, we just felt something in us. And the whole lives changed after that. Or that alim looked at me, our eyes made in contact. This is what we call the spiritual connection with Allah Ta'ala. This is what you call the effect of the pious, the effect of the suhbat. And I promise you, you'll never find this effect amongst the modern ulama. You'll never find this effect amongst the scholars on TV. You're watching their eyes on TV, you'll never feel it. It will never be found. It's only felt with the men of Allah Ta'ala who are upholding the sanctity of deen. And there is no excuse for it. There's no such thing as times are tough, times are different today. We have to adopt these ways. No. Yes, those ways which are within the confinement of Sharia, then no problem. But if it's not, then it has to be gone. And one more example, inshallah, we were speaking about how the Christians, how they lost their identity, and how the modern world is trying to keep us in this modernism so that we don't realize our true Muslim identity, our power in Islam. There was a lion, right? A small cub was taken in by a farmer. And this farmer only had sheep. So this lion, this cub, grew up amongst the sheep. And now because it grew up amongst the sheep, it never ever knew that it's a lion. So it started even, what to say, bleating like a sheep. It started eating grass like a sheep. It started making the sounds, everything, following how the sheep all follow. Same. One day as the years passed, the lion grew up big. And it's still bleating like a sheep. Anyways, one day another lion came. another lion came, and the lion is looking, what's happening here? I can see one big, mashallah, lion amongst all the sheep. This other lion is confused. This lion called this lion. He says, come here. He says, well, what's happening? He says, why are you playing with our food? Why are you playing with our food? So this lion that grew up with all the sheep was confused. He says, come with me. So the other lion called him. He says, come with me. He says, come. He came. He took him to one river, to one stream. He says, look into the stream. He looked into the stream. This was the first time ever this lion with all the sheep saw its own reflection. If the lion is asking, do you look like me or do you look at the sheep? He says, I look like you. He says, now, stick out your chest, open your mouth and roar. The moment, this was the first time in its life it's ever roared. All the time making sound of a sheep. The lion taught it how to roar. It roared. And what did one roar? All those sheep that was with it all these years playing around. Because it understood also, the sheep knew, normally these lions come and eat us. So we are keeping good friends with it. So it mustn't realize it needs to eat us. With that one roar, all the sheep realized, hey, our times of having this lion as our pet and our friend is gone now. Now it's going to come for us. Very similarly, the world is keeping us Muslims in this identity of modernism, in this identity of non-Muslims, for us to forget our power as Muslims. And it's events like this, occasions like this, that we are sitting in those talks of Iman and Yaqeen, of reminding us of Allah, of reminding us of the Sahaba, of reminding us of their sacrifices, of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, that will bring this spirit, will bring this awakening in our heart to realize, you know, I'm not like these kuffar. They want me to dress like them, cut my hair like them, live like them. For what? Because they are scared. The moment we are going to return to Sunnah, our power is in Sunnah. The moment we are going to return to that masjid being full for Salah, we'll see all the walls the Muslims are in will be immediately won. The moment we will see that those women folk dressed in the parda, the niqab, and properly adorn themselves when and if they need to leave their house, then you're going to see such children come out from there that will be the next Khalid bin Walid, that will be the next Alauddin Ayyubi. So we have to remember our identity as a Muslim. We have to remember, not be forgotten, and don't ever think that the kuffar are your friends. They're never your friends. They're just using and keeping us, what we'll say, in a cage. But once that cage is opened, then they're going to run. And we have to be ready to be that lion, to realize that we have this power. Allah has blessed us with Iman, with Quran, with Sunnah, that will destroy the batil in the world, that will destroy the kuffar in the world. And no one can stand against the Muslims. Victory came to the Muslim Ummah when they were in complete obedience to Allah. And this ijtima, this weekend, inshallah, is all about that day. Nothing fancy, nothing of bid'at, nothing whatsoever. It's just the talks of Allah, everyone gathering for one purpose. Imagine going to the ijtima, seeing thousands and thousands dressed in kurta. How shy you'll be if you came in top and pants? How shy you'll be seeing everyone with a dari, with a beard, and I don't have one? How shy you'll be that you'll see everyone with a miswak, everyone with a kurta, with a topi, and you'll feel, I want one. So these are chances which we have to put forward. Allah is putting the chance. We have to go forward. Oh Allah, I'm not worthy. Even if in my heart I don't feel like changing. But oh Allah, I know I need to change. I don't feel like I want to, but I know I need to. So I'm going forward. Oh Allah, you do the rest. And we never know when that moment will come. But we have to keep on trying and saying, oh Allah, I need to, even though my desires and nafs doesn't want to. But I know I need to. So I'm putting myself forward. This ijtima is the yearly thing. On a weekly basis, we have majalis taking place, we have the gashas taking place, we're having programs. Just go, just go, just go. Until that day, Allah will say, this person is really desirous of what he needs. And Allah will say, there, take it. And from there, inshallah, our whole lives will be different. So may Allah Ta'ala make it a success. May Allah Ta'ala make it the means of hidayah for the entire ummah. And may Allah Ta'ala bring ease and comfort and the rahmat upon the entire ummah across the world, inshallah.
JazakAllah khairan, Mulana, for that advice, and inshallah we'll meet you now on next week Friday. But before that, our listeners must remember to tune in. That's on Tuesday nights between 8 and 9, inshallah. Mulana's program is The Stories of the Anbiya alayhi muslim, and that's related to today's lessons as well. So last week I think Mulana spoke on Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. Next week is this going to continue?
Last week he spoke halfway to Adam alayhi salam, And inshallah, this coming week, we should inshallah finish off the story of Adam alayhi salam.
Okay, so it will be part two, inshallah. Make dua for us, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.